Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
In my mind, I'm gone to Carolina. Can't you see the sunshine? Can't you just feel the moonshine? Ain't it just like a friend of mine to hit me from behind? Yes, I'm gone to Carolina in my mind.
Karen, let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Welcome in from 98.5 The Sports Hub and 98.5thesportshub.com. It's Ty Anderson getting ready for game four tonight. Hey, Ty.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
How's the trip so far?
Feel like you're in a field trip? Like your sixth grade field trip, you know, like when people go down to Plymouth Plantation.
It does. I want to go to the museum now because I just feel like I'm actually on a field trip. It's you know, I'm like the young one, so you know I need a chaperone before I can do anything. So yeah, but no, it's been great. It's really cool down here. It's
nice airport, huh?
Yeah, I mean, in and out. I mean, that was great. But yeah, I mean, it's just different down here with you know, the arena's kind of in the middle of nowhere. Like truth be told, and. But I mean, tailgating outside of a hockey game is just something I never thought I'd see before. But hey, it works.
It's like the same as Tampa. They tailgate in Tampa too before the games for the Lightning games. All right. So what are you expecting tonight? Are you expecting the Hurricanes to pack it in and sort of give up on this season, or are we expecting one last fight from Carolina?
I think it's over. I think game three was their fight. You look at that first period, they put 20 shots on net. They get nothing out of it. It's a close game at the end, but I just think that Carolina, this is a beaten down team. They know that Tuukka is playing unbelievable. They know that the Bruins have more offensive weapons than they do. Listening to that team after game three and yesterday on the off day, they sound beaten down. They sound defeated. I don't see how this goes back to Boston for a game five. If the Bruins can survive the push, they'll be fine because this team knows, I think, deep down, and the Hurricanes know, if they score two goals or three goals, and I'm talking about the Bruins, the Carolina Hurricanes are not beating Tuukka. He's playing that well right now.
What are they saying about their captain down there, Williams, and how he took things into his own hands in that first period? What's the brushback in Raleigh? Anything?
So they've been really supportive of Williams.
Yeah.
And it's just odd because I mean, he's costing them games right now. Like, he is, in my opinion, he's costing them games because this team, they're a young, and I mean this in a nice way, they're a young, stupid team. They don't know about this moment. They don't know anything about what comes with it, and they follow his lead. So when he's out there and he's playing like an idiot and he's targeting Torrey Krug and he takes three penalties against the same player, and after the game, they go, what was that about? And he says, oh, nothing. I wasn't doing anything. There's no accountability. And again, he's the heartbeat of this team. So when they see that, they think that's what the norm is. It's unfocused, it's undisciplined, and it's just odd that there's a defense here. You can tell that Rod Brind'Amour wants to criticize him, but he can't because they were former teammates, they're friends. He looks at him like an assistant coach. So it's a little bit of an odd spot for Brind'Amour and for Williams. But in my opinion, he's costing them games right now, but no one wants to admit it.
Sort of like Corin Pedroia, you know, former teammate, but you know it's hurting the team right now. But this guy's a captain. He's a good player.
Oh, he's a great player, and that's why it's annoying because, you know, if you watch it, if you're a Canes fan and you're watching him, you're saying, what are you doing? Like, why are you focused on Torrey Krug and Brad Marchand? Like, you need to kickstart this offense. You need to do something more than just annoy. That's never been your role. You know, you're a playoff hero. You won cups with L.A., and, you know, the Caps brought you in because of your experience, and the Canes brought you in because of your experience. You're not known for this. You're known for being a big game player. This isn't what the kind of plays they need, though, right now.
We're talking with Ty Anderson from Raleigh. Chris Wagner out. He's back in Boston after blocking that shot late in game three. Nolichari slides in on the fourth line. Do you expect any, really, things shouldn't skip a beat on that fourth line at all with him sliding in, right?
No, exactly. And that's sort of the best case scenario. If you were going to lose someone on that line, Wagner is probably the best one to lose because you have Nolichari. You don't want to lose Chris Wagner. He's played very well this series. But if you're looking for a direct replacement, Nolichari is a pretty good one for Chris Wagner. So I don't expect him to miss a beat there. This line has experience here. This was the fourth line at the end of the Toronto series and the beginning of the Columbus series. So, and they had some good looks there. So I think that that's going to be okay. But it's going to be interesting to watch to see, do they have the same offensive pop? Because if we look at the players, Wagner has a bit more of a skating game and a bit more offensive pop, and we've seen that. So I expect it to be more of a grind line, but hey, that's what they've always been all year long now. So it's just another version of next man up for this team, and we've seen how that's worked out to this point. So I think they should be okay.
I think you're sort of taking that victory lap. You've been around all year with Tuukka, right? It's been sort of a crazy ride, the way he started the year, the off-ice issue, whatever that was he had, how he dealt with it, how he came back, the nice balance he had with Halak, and just seems like he's in a different zone right now, even messing with McAvoy, and I'm sure you were there with the post game the other night. It's his world right now, right?
It really is. I mean, and I'll be honest, like, listen, I'm a Tuukka guy, right, as everyone in that building knows, but I've never seen him play this well. This is the best he's played, in my opinion. Like, he is so calm. He's so focused. He's so poised. Nothing is rattling him right now. And it's really impressive to me because I think that, especially that first period in game three, that's where it could have all fallen apart for him. And it didn't. He was so calm and collected. And I think that sort of helps the team in front of him. Like, they know that he's going to have their back right now. And you see the game, you know, you see McAvoy, Krug, and Clifton going end to end trying to make offense happen. That doesn't happen if they don't have complete faith in their goaltender being able to stop, you know, whatever happens as a result of that. So, yeah, I think this is the best he's played. His confidence right now, he has a definite swagger to him. And I think that's important because I don't know if he's ever had that before. You know, past playoff runs, he's been okay. Right now, he's the man. He's the guy. And I think that you're seeing this, it's kind of playing out to the team in front of him as well. So, yeah, no. As a Tuukka guy, I full well admit that this is the best I've ever seen him play.
So I saw your tweet the other night after the game tie, and it was through 16 playoff games, you had the stats for Rask this year, Rask in 2013, Jonathan Quick in 2012, and Tim Thomas in 2011. And pretty remarkable numbers for all those different guys. And I know that I think you were trying to prove the point that Thomas had the worst numbers in the group, right? Was that the point of that?
Well, I'm trying to prove that to get here, you need to play remarkable. You know, it's not just the Stanley Cup final, you got to be lights out. It's to get to this point, you have to be on top of your game. And right now, Tuukka is doing that. The Tim Thomas run, I think it becomes more, you know, it becomes more urban legend with each passing year. We think that he's this incredible player and that he was flawless from game one of the first round to game seven of the Stanley Cup. And that's not exactly the case. That's why I say that Tuukka is playing so well right now, is that this has been consistent excellence, probably since, you would say, game five of the Toronto series, game four of the Toronto series even. So I think you have to look at the overall picture and say that Tuukka has now played at a remarkable level for 13 straight games, in my opinion. That's a pretty good stretch.
How much of the $135 per day per diem have you pocketed? Are you eating off the dollar menu?
So my hotel is right next to McDonald's, which I think they did on purpose. So I my first day here, I got some chicken nuggets, of course, you know me. I went to this place. I went to this chicken and waffle place last night, and it was unbelievable.
Oh,
so they also have these things here called, you've probably heard of this, Cookout, it's called. It's like
this, yeah, they have grills, they do hot dogs, burgers, and probably have a cooler where you have some ice in there, you can get some drinks.
Yeah, it's wild because, like, the menu is the biggest thing I've ever seen in my life, and you can order all this food, and it's like $18, so it's pretty wild.
I was going to ask you as a follow-up on the goalie stuff because you had that those Tuukka stats through 16 games. 12-4 in 2013, 9.43, and 1.75 goals against. If you follow that through the next three games, he lost the next three games, and it was sort of ugly at the end there. So are you concerned that at any point this doesn't last for Tuukka?
I would be concerned if it's San Jose because they have a lot of offensive weapons. Logan Couture is playing on a different level right now, but I'm not overly concerned because I just think, you know, you can't apply the same metrics year by year. I just think, and that's sort of the problem. I think that, you know, I'm looking at what he's doing right now. His PK work has been unbelievable. He's been their best penalty killer. And I just think that he's been through so much crap over the last 6 years that this might be his David Price moment. This might be the time that he just shuts everybody up and says, I hold all the cards now, and he wins it all. So I haven't seen anything that's going to make me believe that his game is going to suddenly drop off. You know, I thought in 2013 he was almost too good. Right now I think it's just steady. It's steady, it's excellent, but there's no dips. There's no high highs and low lows. Right now it's just consistent.
All right, Ty, appreciate the time. Looking forward to the game tonight. Thanks for dropping on.
Anytime, guys. See you soon.
All right, have fun with the sweep.
Check out all of Ty's work at 98.5thesportshub.com, and of course, give him a follow on Twitter as well. _ Ty Anderson. He puts the underscore before his name on Twitter.
Who was talking about the David Price moment yesterday?
You were. Yeah. And we're actually going to continue that conversation right here on this very show coming up next. Right. Is Tuukka having his David Price moment? And I want to get back to that thing on 13 because he was having a ridiculous run in 13, and we all remember how it ended. Statistically, the run was unbelievable. And then he fell off a cliff. He did, because statistically, I saw this tweet from Ty the other night.
Two very quick goals.
Through the first 16 games, 12-4, 943 save percentage, 1.75 goals against. And then I'll give you the stats of the final three games, as we know how it ended against
Chicago. The final 90 seconds.
Obviously, that had some bearing on that. But it wasn't good. It wasn't a pretty finish. And is he having this sort of David Price thing going on for him right now? We'll talk about that with your calls on the Bruins as we get ready for a game four and a potential sweep for the Bruins coming up tonight.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Slavin dusts it off. Rister deflected. Rask the save. Rebound. Rask, what a stop. And then he stops a second opportunity from Niederreiter. Far circle, it's fired. And Rask a glove save as Williams got robbed. Turnover. Left circle. Niederreiter out in front. Backhand. And Rask the stop. 3-on-2 the other way for Carolina Hamilton. Centers fired. Rask slid across. What a stop. The two-pad stack. He gets him at the far post. 40's on fire. Sent out in front. And Stahl's deflection denied by Rask as he squeezed the right arm to the midsection. The horn is going to sound. Tuukka Rask gobbled up that last shot from Sebastian Aho. This game is final.
Tuukka Rask has been on an incredible run. Many would say, many would agree, he has never been on a run quite like this one. He's been great for the Bruins. He has carried the Bruins through 16 playoff games, 11-5 to this point. 939 goals against and a 939 saves percentage with a goals against average of 1.96 to this point. Very, very good. Statistically, through 16 playoff games in 2013, he was better. He was actually better. 12-4. With a 943 save percentage and a 1.75 goals against. Statistically better in 13 to this point through 16 playoff games than he was. He's better then in 13 than he is right now, if you can believe that.
You believe it on paper, but I think you feel so differently about it now to the state he's in and sort of the trend in how he's gotten to this point.
He was on a great run then.
It's not like
he's on a great run now.
Yeah.
You know what the difference is?
You have no fear of a collapse right now. I don't.
Did you have fear of a collapse then?
After you get one or two, yeah, you started.
I don't know that we really. I don't know if we did.
I don't remember.
I don't remember.
I don't remember either. But I do remember them being up, and I'm like, I remember when they got two, and then things tightened up.
So I can tell you that again. He had great statistics through the first 16 games. and then he had bad statistics through the final three.
Okay.
He went for being 12-4. Again, those numbers, 943 and 1.75. And then he went 0-3, 899, 3.5 goals against. He went from 1.75 to 3.5 over those final three games. Not good. Not good. And the final, as Hardy said, and the final 90 seconds probably impacted those statistics.
Yeah, it wasn't
at
good.
TD Garden in a game six against the Blackhawks.
Not I don't great. Remember any kind of a defensive breakdown in front of them. Was something happening to the defensemen? Were they injured? Were they going down? Were they playing hurt?
No, it was the way I remember bitching about not giving him help in front of him. Like, get guys, get your ass, pack it in, get a lead, and sit back the way the other teams were beating you at that time.
But he's that, okay.
You know what I mean? Like, there were, like, when the shots were going, they were wide-ass open shots. You're like, where the hell is the help?
How much help do you think he's gotten through keep it to the wins, through 11 wins of the postseason so far. Defensively, they've been good.
I mean, you get McAvoy diving, you get Wagner the other night.
Blocking some shots.
You look at Char's awareness to get. It's not perfect.
They're not building a wall on the blue line.
No, they're not. To your point.
Teams are getting through. Toronto was getting through like nobody's business and getting shots on net.
No,
and
I feel like a lot of it's been him.
Spending a lot of time in the Bruins zone. He's just been really good.
What if he's been very good?
The defense hasn't been bad.
What if it's Washington or Tampa here and he's facing? Maybe the numbers are different. Every series is going south.
Oh, that could definitely be part of it, too. No doubt about it.
Factor in your opponents here.
Game two against Carolina, I think he only had to stop 21 shots, maybe. That was a great defensive effort. Otherwise, defensively, they've been good. Obviously,
which is only to say this could get a lot harder, and that's what Ty said, too. This could get a lot harder if all of a sudden this is San Jose in the next series.
Especially if San Jose gets a bunch of non-calls like they did last night with the hand pass in overtime. Good grief.
So,
again, with the officiating.
That's just part of it. You know, Tuca's been on a good statistical run before. I think the eye test would tell you this is the best he's ever played. This is the best any of us can recall him ever playing for a stretch.
For a stretch.
Yeah.
For an extended period of time.
Now, if this does continue and there does not, we don't see any collapse at any point from Tuca, there's no breakdown, and the Bruins do complete this mission, does he have his trump card? Does he have a David Price type of moment? Is that what we're seeing in front of us right now? Did he need it?
100%.
Did he need it like David Price needed
it? Yes.
I disagree with that.
Price hit rock bottom.
There's still people who don't think he can do it, Beadle.
There are people who are going to hold him,
tapping out of big games against him. They still think he's overpaid, and they think he's not the guy. 100%. This shuts everybody up, and anybody who wants to somehow still say that he's not the man after this, if they complete it, not now, not at this moment, There's still a lot of work to be done, but if he does it and he continues playing this way, anybody who starts talking about Tuukka Rask not being the guy for the last several years here in Boston can absolutely shove it. Turns out he was the man. You just didn't see it.
I just think that there are a lot of people that don't believe in him and don't think he's a guy who could carry you to a cup, and this will shut them up. That's it. You can't say that anymore. It's over. But I don't think there are a lot of people that hate Tuukka Rask like there were people that hated David Price.
It's a personality thing.
Yeah,
more so than
there were people that could not stand David Price and hated to even think about wanting David Price to do well. And there were people openly rooting against David Price.
Wanted him
Tuukka
to
Rask
opt out and
never
leave.
Dealt with that.
Right.
Tuukka Rask has never had people that say, I can't stand that player. I don't think he has that.
Well, it's not the same type of personality thing that David Price put out there. And look, I guess for a variety of reasons, Tuukka probably doesn't talk as much as David Price did. He didn't have an Eckersley incident like Price did. You know, you didn't have the...
No, but he also didn't go out and have a complete meltdown the first time he went out on the ice every time the playoffs started. David Price had no measure of success in the playoffs. He would go out on the mound and he would completely fall apart. We just talked about a run of success that Tuca had for 16 games to start the playoffs in 13. Did it end well? No, it didn't end well. But it wasn't like he showed up and couldn't perform at any point in the playoffs. Right?
He's just turned into a sieve.
I mean, it's like for only 5 weeks he was able to perform, and then in the final week it fell apart on him. But it's not like he completely sucked. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he's had stretches where he's played well. The guy's won a Vezina. I mean, the guy doesn't stink.
I think it's an irrational hatred of him.
In a lot of ways, it is.
People hated Price. Literally hated Price. I don't think people really hate Tuca.
Well, if Tuca bothered you
in every moment. I don't know if Tuca's ever hit rock bottom.
I mean, Tuca could say, hey, you know what? I haven't gotten over that ultimate hump yet. But come on, guys. I mean, yeah, I haven't failed in every big spot. I mean, I've played big in playoff series before. Right? Yeah, I haven't achieved the pinnacle. I haven't won the championship yet, but I mean, the playoffs don't roll. I don't fall apart because I'm in the playoffs, right?
If people dislike Tuca to that degree, I think it's largely baseless. They look at a few incidents and they look at a few times when he didn't play up to their expectations or he didn't play at all. I get it.
That's the big one right there.
And Jim, I get that one because I took him to task on that one. I wanted to know everything about it. I think it was that Ottawa game. I wanted to know everything about that. Wait a second. What do you mean you were sick? You were so sick that you made it out there, you made it into warmups, and then you couldn't play. How sick were you? Did you drive yourself home? Were you too sick? I want to know everything about it. So there are incidents, but it wasn't like a consistent personality thing or a consistent inability to perform in the postseason. Just, I think for the most part, you know, the Bruins fans who didn't like him thought he was overpaid and he wasn't worth the money. And he wasn't a big time goalie. He wasn't a big spot goaltender. So far in this postseason, he has been the guy. He has been the man back there. And if they see this thing all the way through, those people don't have anything to say anymore. It's just like people with Price. People wanted Price to opt out. Do you want Price to opt out now? No. Anybody going to want Tuca to leave if they end up finishing this thing? Huh. How could you? How could you possibly? The way he's been playing. Yeah, because you have Halak.
Yeah.
Halak's a good goaltender.
Start Halak
absolutely,
tonight.
Sure.
Maybe they'll start Halak tonight. Get Tuca some rest.
You can't. You can't say it anymore. Huh. And no one's saying anything about him right now. They're just being silent because I know those people are still out there, still thinking that. Thinking that, oh, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. You watch. I don't think it's happening. I think this guy's locked
in. No, I gave you your fuel. I gave the people, the Tuca haters, their fuel today.
Right.
The collapse in 13.
Oh, yeah.
The statistics were great through 16 games. He then fell off the cliff. It could still happen for you.
It's not happening.
I gave you something to cling to today.
It's not happening.
And Ty Anderson even told you, look out. If it's San Jose, you could have a tough time. When you face a another team with some real offensive prowess, you know, you could be in a situation. All of a sudden, you could get yourself in trouble.
You could also go to 2010 if you wanted to.
Oh, you want me to do that too?
They were up 3-0 in game seven, weren't they?
3-0, 3-0. Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't see it. I don't see it happening. I know you gave him the fuel for it, but if it does happen and he lets in a bunch of goals against San Jose, how much of that is the fault of the defenseman playing in front of him and even the forwards for not doing their job too? I mean, San Jose plays a wide open style of hockey, and I haven't watched a ton this season, but Felger was talking a bit about it yesterday. He said they play fast and loose. They take a lot of chances and they give up a lot of chances. And that's the type of thing that can result in some big scores. How much of that are you going to hang on Tuca if it happens?
617-779-0985. The telephone numbers. We talk about Tuca. And, if he continues this run of success, will it be his trump card? And did he need it in the first place? We'll get to your calls on this and the Bruins as they get ready for game four tonight against the Hurricanes.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Anytime it got to September, playoffs, I hold all the cards now. And that feels so good. So that feels so good. I can't tell you how good it feels to hold that trump card.
I can tell you that Tuca was 7-2 through the first nine games in 2010 with a .928 save percentage before the collapse happened against Philly. I have to compute the goals against, which I can do, but I can tell you his save percentage dropped from .928 in the first nine games to .874 in the four losses. Is that good, Hardy? Going from .928 to .874 in the four losses?
It's not ideal.
Not ideal. Not ideal. When that happened for him, it was like a switch had been flipped.
That's something one would wish for.
Nope. Nope. Bob is in Weymouth. He actually wanted to mention something about Rask in 2013. What do you have for us, Bob?
Yeah, so I have to disagree with you guys with the best performance he's been putting out right now. I believe it was 2013 against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Adam McQuaid had more points than the Sidney Crosby line, and then he blew it in the last 2 minutes of Game 6 in the Cup against the Blackhawks.
High-end talent.
So you think that he
had the opponent.
So you think that Rask was playing better in 13?
Oh, my God. Against the Penguins. He was insane. That was the best series. Yeah,
people look down on Carolina.
And
that's the problem.
And was going against higher-end talent than he is now.
The Penguins were stupid in that series. They decided to go out there and try and be physical with the Bruins.
That's when he and Malkin were jamming, though.
They kind of took themselves out offensively. I mean, he played – don't get me wrong. I remember Rask playing well in that series. But the Penguins, like, idiocy is what handed that series over to the Bruins in four games, if I'm not mistaken.
He stood, it was either 4 or 4-1, but he stood on his head, and to have Adam McQuaid have more points in the Crosby line was amazing, and I think that's the best series he's ever played, but like I said, he blew it in the last 2 minutes of the Cup against the Blackhawks. That's the pressure with him. That's why I question that, and if he wins a Cup this year, everything will be forgotten, of course, classic Boston fans, you know?
As it should be, though. I mean, I think that's right. I think that's the way it should be. If you win it all, all's forgiven.
Yeah, but I don't think he's going to... I don't think he feels jaded the way David Price feels jaded.
Oh, you know, he won a championship and we forgave him. Typical Boston.
Played really well. Through
what?
Play well enough to win you 16 games. I guess we got to forgive him. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Let's go to Rob in Nashua. Hey, Rob.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up?
So in a matter of 6 weeks, Tuukka Rask's legacy, it's going to go from the greatest choke artist, the best goalie that you couldn't depend on, to debatably the greatest goaltender in Boston Bruins history. He's going to have 2 cups, 3 finals appearances, a Vezina, a Conn Smythe,
He's going to have one cup. Come on.
One cup.
Sure. He's going to have one cup as a starter, but when his history is done, his career, he's going to have 2 Stanley Cups. His name's going to be on
As will Halak. Halak will have one this year.
Sure.
I don't know if he's going to go down as the greatest in history, but it's a total turnaround, just like David Price.
It's an argument, though.
Just
like David Price.
Yeah.
Just like David Price. The only thing that makes it different is David Price didn't have the opportunity to play every game like Tuukka Rask has. You know, it's a lot easier to look better.
The best part,
gives Price a little bit more like urgency to win the game when he's only getting 6 appearances per playoff.
Agreed.
But when you play in 16 games, I do think this is very comparable to Price. And, you know, I'm not saying he's going to be the greatest in Bruins history, but there's an argument to be had.
I think it's a different mentality. I think Price was more sensitive, if that makes any sense. I think Tuukka was more Buckholz-esque, where you shrugged the shoulders after a bad loss. It is what it is, you know. Buckholz-esque. Clay Buchholz, same thing after him. After well, the ball get out another ballpark.
But part of the reason they're only playing six games in those playoffs is because those guys, Price and Tuca, are directly responsible for wins and losses with their positions. The starting pitcher and the goalie.
That's all on you.
That's a big spot on why you're only playing six games. So like you can't look at the need. You need a longer sample size to get that. But well, part of the reason they had a short sample size is because of you.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, Tuca doesn't have that advantage. He goes out there and plays well, then, you know, they still have to get out there and he still has to go again.
I think people would respond better. Say Tuca goes, finishes it tonight. Say you have a gentleman sweep next week and you beat San Jose in five, or whoever the hell advances for them. That really stamps his ass, and he plays his ass off in the next 2 weeks. I think people would be more over the top, happy for him and on his you-know-what, more so than they were on Price's after the World Series, because Price kind of threw it in your face. I hold it all now. Aha, and it feels good, like in your face. I don't think Tuca will do that.
I can't tell you how good it feels to hold that trump card.
You think Tuca will do that?
No.
It's not his style.
And I think that will, I don't want to say put him over the top of what Price did. I mean, you won a World Series here in Boston. That's a pretty big deal. Pretty big deal. And Price hit rock bottom, and he did a complete 180. Tuca hasn't done that. You know, he hasn't hit rock bottom, and he's had his issues. You know, questionable starts. Was he at Buffs Pub? Why didn't he finish the next game? All that stuff. I don't know.
And Buffs is on record saying he wasn't there.
And Buffs is on record saying they invite me for free wings. And it is the best wings in town. I'll be in there at some point. That'd be nice. It'd be nice for them to bring it in for the show. It would be really nice, especially on a day like today when you're hungry. Good stuff. We don't want it now, though, but we'll plan that down the road. We'll head into Bus Pub.
You wouldn't take it if it came in?
I would. But I'm not allowed to do that. Can't beg for food on there.
You just did.
Yeah. Well, I retract that. Yeah.
Patriots signed Jamie Collins. That is also something that has gone down in the last 24 hours. Made official yesterday afternoon. Why don't we get to that and continue to mix in your thoughts on the Bruins. Game 4 tonight. Interview with Wick from Felger and Maz yesterday. We'll touch on that as well with some of our favorite sound bites on the way here on Zolak and Burke.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times.
Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
There's some notable free agents still unsigned. Jamie Collins. Yes, that Jamie Collins.
No,
writes.
I'd say no. Nope.
Negative on Jamie Collins.
He's been away too long, if that makes sense. Remember now, you say, well, Patriots don't do that. Yeah, they did with Patrick Chung. Patrick Chung went away and came back. I think Patrick Chung was misused here.
But Patrick Chung was a free agent when he left. They didn't trade him away.
Right, but you could have, if you love Patrick Chung, you could have paid, you know, coming off the Super Bowl.
They like Patrick Chung.
They love Patrick Chung.
That is Josh dug that up, sent it over to us from NBC Sports Boston.
Not too bad.
Us talking about Jamie Collins on April 2nd. We have one from October as well. Oh, my God.
Yeah, because they were after him. There were rumors that they were trying to trade for him in October.
Doesn't it feel like we've been talking about Jamie Collins' return for a year now?
Yeah, where's he been out there?
His name's been floated so many times. What did we say in October about him?
I think the same.
But the same thing.
Probably worse.
Nah. I think that ship has sailed. All right, let us know when you have that one. Okay, play that one now.
Here we go.
I've been hanging on to this today. I wanted to get your opinion on it. And that is the idea that the Cleveland Browns might trade Jamie Collins back to the New England Patriots this year. brought up in an ESPN story. Bill Barnwell wrote it. Stop laughing.
I can't.
Stop laughing.
Good.
That was last October. Laughed it off in October and shot it down in April. And here we are in May, and he's here. Patriot once again. Welcome home, Jamie Collins. Hooray! Jamie Collins is here.
Yeah, I didn't boom tweet this yesterday.
So he is here. And how do you view him? What is he now? What's his role?
He's a depth piece. Like, I don't think he's you look at your, they got a good defense. They do. They have some nice role players, guys that understand what they're supposed to do. And I'm even throwing those guys in the middle. You got Bentley. And here's the question. Is he an upgrade over Landon Roberts?
Absolutely.
That's kind of where it fits in. Right?
Yes.
Because he's not going to take plays away from Hightower. He sure as hell is going to take plays. See, this goes to show you how bad it was for him and why he got his ass traded away, because he is so freaking athletically talented. One of the most amazing athletes I've ever been around. Watching him in the offseason, the way this guy can dunk a basketball.
Imagine if he tied his shoes when he played basketball.
He came out for pregame warmups for football games. And I don't know if he still did it in Cleveland. But, you know, we're there 3-4 hours prior to the game. And he's in loosely untied high tops. And he does the back handsprings 100 yards down the field. That's how he warm up. And I'm like, look at this. This is unreal. Like, it's like some freaking gymnast. And this is a guy that, you know, boy, he's got everything if it would just come together for him. And
I remember you coming in after one of those charity basketball game, right?
And he would jump.
And you're like, Peter, you should see this guy dunk the basketball.
He would jump.
He doesn't even have laces in his sneakers.
Yeah,
and he's jumping out of the gym.
He wouldn't take off. There's YouTube videos
like,
of him.
He's like, I don't think he has any laces.
Intern, you want to do something? You haven't done anything in a week. Why don't you look up the YouTube videos of Jamie Collins and tweet them out from the show page, the Solak and Bertrand show page. He would stand under the hoop, his shoes untied, jump up, take the two hands, tap the backboard twice with it, and then spin and dunk it backwards. And just shake it. The whole gym would go nuts. And it was just like that. Like, man, what's the big deal? You know, that's how good he was. That's how athletic he is. Remember when Cal Van Noy got here? And everybody's like, who the hell's Cal Van Noy? Sort of a, I don't know, journeyman from Hardystown, Detroit. The Detroit Lions. When he came for the Detroit Lions, we're like, oh, God, what are they going to do with this guy? And Cal Van Noy is what they wanted Jamie Collins to be. And Van Noy really developed into this really, really good player. And you're not taking him off the field for Jamie. You're not taking Hightower off the field for Jamie. You know, Juwan Bentley's back. I don't know what he's going to be like in year two. But he had a great upside as a rookie. You just drafted Winovich out of Michigan. So somehow you're going to try and get him on the field in sort of that Brewski role. What it does, it gives you another athletic piece, I think, for your front. I don't think you look at it and say, boy, Jamie Collins in. He's your starting middle linebacker. I don't know what he's going to be. They could use him outside to help Hightower, alleviate some of the strain on Hightower in his knee. Hightower doesn't have a great knee. But, man, two guys got really excited after they signed him yesterday. One was Tom Brady, and he said, hell yeah. And he responded, one of the first ones to reply when the news came down. And then Hightower replied, Bash Brothers back, Smash Brothers back together again. So, I mean, I remember when they would shoot gaps with spikes and this guy – or whether it was Hightower and then Chandler Jones off the edge. That's when the defense really took some chances back in the day, you know, going back to 14, you know, and 15 in those years, you know, when sort of started this Super Bowl run late in Brady's career. Jamie Collins was part of that. You know, so we'll see. We'll see. And I think, you know, they look at it as, hey, we were after him in October. We chuckled at it, obviously. And now nobody has him. He's out there. Yeah, we'll bring him in. We'll give it a go. He understands the system. See, the biggest thing here is guess who's calling the plays?
Bill. We didn't talk about that. That, to me, is not surprising. We sort of talked about that when we found out that they didn't have a defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Because Greg Schiano was...
I heard Felger and Mass talking about this the other day. Like, well, how's Bill going to do that? You know, you're the head guy, and doesn't he have to have his play sheet? You look at these coordinators, and they cover their face with the play sheet because of the call. Bill's never had a play sheet. Bill is so ready to go on game day. I remember Parcells talking about that. Hey, Belichick, how do you save all this stuff in your head? You know, Bill, run it again. Well, what did we run? I know exactly what we ran. I'm calling it again. Even going back to the Rams Super Bowl stuff and looking at the three games of glory stuff, he brings Flores over. He goes, hey, Brian, we got about 14, 15 calls left in this game. Like, he knew it down to the exact snap count. Let's make sure we get these calls right and get on it. Now the call goes through Bill. Bill's listening in on it. But he allowed Brian to call it. He allowed Matt to call it. But I'm sure when it's crunch time or third and 18 or third and 4, hey, Bill, should we go, what do you want to do here? And Bill would probably oversee that call first and 10, second and 10. He turns his coordinators loose. It's going to be a different feel for Bill this year. I can't wait to see how that dynamic's going to work on the sideline, too. That's a nice thing about having Josh back. You got Josh and you got Dante over on the offensive side. Two guys that probably could be offense coordinators. Now, there's inner working parts and some different guys in different positions. Joe Judge is over there now. Dealing with not only special teams, but now positional group. And I think bringing Jamie back, as far as, can you get him to accept his role and understand what assignments are? The best thing that's going to be able to help him, I think we mentioned yesterday, was having Gerard Mayo. Now, Mayo's strict control is middle linebackers. That's his title, middle linebackers. So we'll see. We'll see. I think right now he's a depth piece. He's an athletic depth piece.
Hey, speaking of Dante Scarnecchia, this is completely off topic, but it was a comment that he made about Isaiah Wynn last week.
Yeah.
This has been completely, in my opinion, misconstrued. I saw a lot of people sort of tweeting this and writing this comment up as like a positive. It sounded to me like Dante Scarnecchia sort of took a shot at Isaiah Wynn last week. This is what he said. He said, I went back over all of the training camp and looked at everything, and this guy is a really good football player. Scarnecchia said Friday of Wynn. We just have to get him out there. I'll just leave it at that. I read that and I go, I'll just leave it at that. Just have to get him out there. He's taking a shot at a guy for not getting out on the field. That's like an injury thing.
An Achilles? You think he's getting on him for an Achilles?
I don't think he's getting him on for that.
I listened to that press conference and I didn't take that out of
it. I think Scar's looking at it saying, this guy's, we had him. He blew the Achilles out when he was on the right side last year, right? I think he was on the right side when he stepped back.
Yeah, McDaniel said he was on the right side when he hit.
I think Scar's looking at it like he could play left, he could play right, shoot. At some point, we may have to pay Joe Tooney. He'll be gone. Shaq Mason ain't going anywhere. He can play left guard. I think let's get him out there and see. Let's just get him going on everything.
He also went there with Jared Veld here, too, because he's like, he's not here. We got to get him out there to see. Like, he wasn't, because he wasn't in the building yet.
We're going to let the process go forward, and as soon as he can get out there, we'll get him out there. We'll see.
I think Scar's known. I think I'm licking my chops to get out there and work with this guy. Like, we just got to get him healthy, get him out there.
I took it as strictly, we need to see all of our best guys out there, and then we'll bounce them around and put them where they need to go.
I bet you he handpicked the guy. When Dante came back, Dante was sort of that, advisor as far as the draft and picking players. And he's like, if I'm going to do this,
I thought this was a Parcells thing. Can't make the club from the tub type of comment.
Yeah, I didn't take it that way. I took it as, I watched a lot of tape. This kid's pretty freaking good. We just need to get him out there. See where he sticks.
You guys are on both extremes.
We just have to get him out there.
In the middle.
We just have to get him out there. Leave it at that.
I don't think.
What do you mean you just leave it at that? You just have to get him out there.
I don't know, but I think Scar. The way Scar.
What am I supposed to read into that?
But the way he prefaced it, like, I went back and watched a lot of tape. This guy's a damn good player. He doesn't preface it.
When you say I'll just leave it at that, that's you're automatically leaving us to insinuate something when you drop a comment like that.
Maybe there's no
timetable.
I'll
just leave it at that.
What's the timetable for the return?
Just leave it at that. That's inviting someone to read something into what you just said.
Is somebody in his 70s saying that, though? Is it different lingo, like different terms that he's got a different vocabulary than most people.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.